Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 2008 in review when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to a law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, the law is automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which is the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about the year 2008 in review. The big story for 2008 is the collapse of the world's monetary system. And we're being told by the mainstream media that it was a once-in-a-hundred-year event. We just couldn't predict it. We just didn't know what was going to happen. And that's a lie. We not only knew what was going to happen, the people that are in the know have already cashed out, taken their money. They knew what was coming because they're what we call the insiders, the Illuminati. But before that, our founding fathers warned us about this very same event. Now listen to this. Thomas Jefferson, you remember him? Third president of the United States. Remember the guy that concluded the Louisiana Purchase and doubled or tripled the size of the United States with that big land purchase back in 1803? Thomas Jefferson, listen to what he said. He said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers conquered. How in the hell did Thomas Jefferson know that back in 1816, that if we allowed the banks, private banks, to issue our currency, that they would enslave us? Because that's precisely what's happened. Now, was Thomas Jefferson a prophet? Or was he just a man that had good common sense and said, hey, listen, we've been through this trick before? And the answer is, we've been through this trick before. And this monetary collapse that you're experiencing in 2008 has occurred to us before, but we didn't learn any lessons from it. And the mistakes that we made in the past are being repeated right now today. And the reason that they're being repeated, and the people of America, and indeed the people around the world, go along with the bankers and go along with the politicians, is because they've been educated in the public schools to respond to that stimulus. You've been educated to it. It's exactly backward. It's exactly wrong. And it's exactly inimical to your best interests, but you're going to go along with it because that's the way you've been trained. Now, the first plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for the abolition of all right to property. The Eighth Commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Now, the purpose for thou shalt not steal is to establish your property rights. The exact opposite to communism. And when the banks issue your currency, it deprives you of your property rights. And that's the way they have put the first plank to the Communist Manifesto into operation. Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1933, March 5th, 1933. Congress enacted a bill, enacted a House Joint Resolution called 192. And they took all your gold away from you. And when they did that, they took your property rights away from you. And Thomas Jefferson knew that. He said, I hope we shall crush in its birth this aristocracy of the moneyed corporations, which dare already to challenge our government to trial of strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. It came out of a letter from Thomas Jefferson's letter to George Logan, dated November 1816. Now, in 1836, we had an exact replica of what we see going on in 2008. And the president at that time was named Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson made this observation. He said, gentlemen, I have had men watching you for a long time. And I am convinced that you have used the funds of the bank to speculate in the breadstuffs of the country. And when you won, you divided the profits amongst yourselves. And when you lost, you charged it to the bank. Now you tell me that if I take the deposits from the bank and annul its charter, I shall ruin 10,000 families. And that may be true. But that is your sin. Should I let you go on, you will ruin 50,000 families. And that would be my sin. You are a den of vipers and thieves, and I have determined to rout you out, and by the eternal God, I will rout you out. That was Andrew Jackson in 1836. And these bankers today, with the aid of our President George Bush, came to Congress and got a $700 billion, no strings attached, monetary bailout granted and given by you, the taxpayers of America. Now, isn't that just special? Now, there's a cause and effect relationship that goes along here, and I'm going to read it to you right out of the scripture. It's in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Leviticus 19, if you can find it, it's the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. And here's what it says. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I'm the eternal your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He repeats that instruction in Deuteronomy 25, verse 13. Let's see if I can find that one here quickly. Deuteronomy 25, fifth book of the Bible. He says, then you shall say before the eternal your God, I have brought away the hallowed things. Nope, wrong. Nope, that's chapter 26. I want 25. Here it is. You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. And you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just balance shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Eternal your God gives you. Because all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Eternal your God. These bankers, with their stocks and bonds, and with their Federal Reserve notes, with their interest in credit cards, are an abomination. Now, in law, we have a saying that goes along. It's a wise old proverb, or it's a fundamental of law, when we say that we're the proximate cause of our own injury, and that we are the accessories to this crime, both before and after the fact. You see, these bankers now, they don't stick a gun to your head and force you, against your will and over your objection, to participate in these criminal activities. Not at all. First thing they do is they get into government, and they go to the government and they buy off the politicians, who then enact laws. And instead of resisting these criminal laws, we go along with them. We participate in it. And in many cases, you've got an option. Now, in America today, we have an option. We could use gold and silver coin, but we don't. We prefer to use our checks and credit cards and our credit at the bank and our letters of credit, and we want to buy stocks and bonds. Now, we've lost about $8 trillion in the stock market in 2008, and that's the penalty that we pay for the use of these unjust weights and balances. The property values on our homes are evaporating right in front of our face. That's the payment that we get back. That's our compensation for taking a mortgage out on these houses to start with. Now, one-third of Americans own their homes free and clear. Two-thirds do not. It's the two-thirds that don't own their homes free and clear that are paying on these mortgages, that are now taking it in the shorts. And that's the penalty now that we're paying. So, there's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And our founding fathers knew it and understood it. Now, listen to Mayor Amsel Rothschild. Here's what Rothschild said. He said, "Permit me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws. It doesn't make any difference whether you vote Republican or Democrat. It doesn't make any difference whether you got Barack Obama or John McCain. As long as the bankers issue the money, they're in control of the nation." James A. Garfield had this to say when he was president of the United States. Said, "Whoever controls the volume of money in any country is absolute master of all industry and commerce." Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and Henry Paulson, our Secretary of the Treasury, control America. Like it or lump it. That's the way it is. Now, that's the bad news. Now, the good news is, and if there wasn't any good news, there's no need for us to jawbone about this. Now, the good news is we don't have to participate in this crime. We don't have to participate in the demise of the American dollar or the demise of America. We don't have to participate in our own demise. We were told plainly by our Creator, don't use unjust weights and balances. And boys and girls, we don't have to. That's a choice that you make, and you make it every day. Every time you use your credit card, that's a choice that you make. Every time you make your mortgage payment, that's your choice in life. Every time you go into a store, use your credit card, or pay with Federal Reserve notes, or write a check, that's a choice that you have to make, and by God, you made it. Now, there's a consequence that comes from that. And every time we make a choice like that, there is a repercussion. There's an end result that comes from it. And so the Great Depression of the 21st century is going to be the result of the choices that we've made. Free moral agents. If you had a free choice and you made it. Fortunately, we can change the choice. We have available to us gold and silver coin. We have available to us an economic system set out by our Creator, given by the hand of Moses to us at Mount Sinai. We've got a written record of it right now today. We have a choice. We can practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, or we can practice the 10 commandments. Choice is yours. You make it every time you make a transaction at Walmart, every time you make a transaction on your house payments and so on. Jefferson went on to say, he said, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Did you get that? Third President of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, he said, I believe that the banking institution with Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies of the Russians and Chinese. By God, I think he's right. I don't think that the average American Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife would believe that statement or even care or give it any thought, but I think he's exactly correct, and I think it's going to be borne out very shortly. He went on to say, already they have raised up a monetary aristocracy that has set the government at defiance. The issuing power of money should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it belongs. Now, Congress took this power of money creation or money issuance, which is a constitutional power, and they gave it to the Federal Reserve in 1913. That power should be taken away from them and restored to the Congress. And the issuance of gold and silver coin and no paper, no checks, no stocks, no bonds should be the rule of law. We're not going to do that. And I'm not here telling you that you need to vote for this guy or that guy or that you need to write a petition or call your senator or representative. He's already in the back pocket of the banking institution. They already own the Congress and the presidency, probably the Supreme Court. But there's a whole lot that you and I can do individually right here at the family level. You and I can change. We can stop practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and we can start practicing the 10 commandments. And we can practice the economic statutes that Moses gave us at Mount Sinai, and it will produce the same kind of economic results that it produced for the entire nation from 1865 to 1910. I mean, you can do that in your own family, in your own town, in your own county, in your own state, and you can start that today. So if you want economic prosperity, you go back to the Ten Commandments. If you want poverty, you stick with the program that you're on, the Communist Manifesto. You just keep running up your checking account and your credit cards. You just keep dealing with your mortgage and paying your interest. And you can have the same kind of poverty. You can have the same kind of serfdom and slavery that mankind has enjoyed, or I should say, has suffered under for the last 5,000 years. You know, the choice is yours. That's the beauty of this scriptural program. You can choose. And if you choose correctly, you get the benefits individual. The entire nation of America can choose Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke, and I can be the only man in America practicing gold and silver, and I'll get the benefits, and the other 300 million of you will get the curses. Now, that's the way this game is played. That's the way that game works. Now, there's other people around beside Thomas Jefferson and Amsel Rothschild, and a lot of people. Over the last 200 years, and indeed the last 2,000 or 3,000 years, have had something to say about money. Money is a big topic. It's the single most important topic that you deal with every day. More divorces are the results of money disputes in families than any other cause. If you're having trouble with your wife, if you're having trouble making your payments and you're having monetary difficulties, it's a good likelihood that it's going to lead to divorce. Now, there's a solution to the problem. That's the good news. You know, if we want to sit here and jawbone about this 2008 and the monetary collapse, we can do that until hell freezes over. But if there's no solution to it, why do we need to talk about it? My point is that there is a solution to it. There was a cause for it, and there's a solution to it. Now, Dr. R.E. Search had this to say. He said, when the Babylonian civilization collapsed, 3% of the people owned all of the wealth in the known world at that time. Think about that. The Babylonian civilization, when it collapsed, 3% of the people owned all of the wealth. When the Persian Empire was destroyed, 2% of the people owned all of the wealth. When the ancient Greek Empire went down to ruin, 0.5% of the people owned all of the wealth. When the Roman Empire collapsed, 2,000 people owned all of the wealth of the civilized world. And it's reported now at this time less than 2% of the people control 90% of the wealth of America. Now, they don't control it all, not yet, but they're after all of it, and they're about to succeed. When they succeed, they will reduce everybody to feudal serfs except those people that practice the Ten Commandment model. You've got a contract with your Creator. You practice that contract, He said, I'll protect you from it. You go ahead and you practice these Babylonian, these communist programs, and you're going to go into serfdom just like everybody else. Guaranteed. Now, the good news is that all the rest of the people of America still have 10% of the wealth. You still have 10% of it available to you. And you need to save every damn dime of it as rapidly as possible. You need to de-link from the dollar, hang on to every dollar that you've got, and convert it into property. Get off of this interest and usury crap and get back to property and property rights. Get back to thou shalt not steal. And get off this first plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for the abolition of all right to property. Aristotle, on usury. The Bible tells us not to practice usury and interest. Aristotle had something to say about usury. He said, money, being naturally barren, to make it breed money is preposterous and a perversion from the end of its institution, which was only to serve the purpose of exchange and not of increase. Usury is most reasonably detested as the increase arises from the money itself and not by employing the money to do the purpose for which it was intended. The purpose for money is to exchange property. It's not to make more money off of the money, because that's a Ponzi scheme. And it cannot last indefinitely, and that's where we're at today. The paper money system, fiat currency, is a Ponzi scheme that cannot continue. It is not sustainable. And yet, many of you people go to college, you get out of high school, and you go on to college, you get degrees after your name. And the reason that you believe in the monetary system today is because that's the way you were educated. The very same bankers that are stealing from you today and robbing you blind also educated you. Well, you talk about the best of both worlds. First, they educate their customers, and then they go out and sell their customers this bill of goods. Hell, the customers love it. And today, the solution that they're proposing is to print more money. It was the printed fiat currency that gave you this depression to start with. I've likened it like this. You go down to the whorehouse, you get a dose of clap. You come back, and here you've got gonorrhea, and your solution to the gonorrhea problem is to go back to the whorehouse. The bankers gave you this problem to start with, and now your solution is to go back to the bankers, and they're going to solve it for you. And it's the classic definition of insanity. That's where you do something that doesn't work, and then you go back and do the same thing over again, expecting a different result. It's preposterous on its face. It's insane. So I say the entire nation's gone mad. We're being governed by madmen. The difference is that these madmen aren't mad. They're doing this intelligently. They're doing it intentionally. They've got a game plan. They've got an end result. They're collapsing the world's economy so that they can meld you into a one-world government. And I told you last time, I said, they're going to succeed for 1 hour, 40 years. They're going to succeed. And they're going to bring down a reign of terror on planet Earth such as this world has never seen before. The Messiah said that it would be worse than the days of Noah. He said it's going to be worse than Noah's flood in this 40-year period. Now here's the Bible on usury. God Almighty, our Creator, told us in Leviticus 25, verses 36 and 37, He says, "Take you no usury of him or increase, but fear your God that your brother may live with you. You shall not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him your victuals for increase." In Deuteronomy 23, verse 19, he says, "You shall not lend upon usury to your brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury." It's against the law to practice usury. Charging interest on a loan, charging interest on money, charging interest on a loaf of bread violates that law. 22 times in the scripture the word usury is used, 22 times. And in every single case, we're told, don't do that. Now, of course, you went to public school just like I did, and when you got out of public school, you learned how to use credit cards and pay interest and usury. Now, let me report to you that when I was a kid, if you charged interest over 6%, you were a usurer. There isn't a bank credit card out there that charges 6%. They're all 15%, 20%, 25%, or 30%. Hell, even the mafia, even the loan sharks from the mafia don't charge that kind of interest. For crying out loud. We got a government program here in the state of Missouri. It was enacted by the Democrats. The Democrat, Mel Carnahan, was the governor. And the legislature, controlled by the Democrats, passed a law. And we call it the car title law. And what they do, you take your car title into this loan company, and you give them your car title, and they'll give you money. And you know what the interest rate is? It's 9.9% per month. That's 118% per annum. And that's sanctioned by your government, for crying out loud. Now, you talk about a pack of thieves, and you people think that your government is your friend? Your government enacts a law that takes 118%. Hell, the Cosa Nostra, the Mafia, and every loan shark in America could only dream of charging you 118% interest. And that's a matter of law here. Now, we were told not to do that, and you can stop. I mean, you know, if you're paying usury today and you want to stop doing that, you can. I teach a business school, and one of the first things I tell a student when he walks in the door, I said, you know, the first thing we got to do for you, partner, is to get you out of debt. How long does it take to get out of debt? About 30 days. You know, if you get right after it, about 90 days if you're slow and retarded. If you're slow and retarded, it would take us about 90 days to get you out of debt. If you got average intelligence, I think we could accomplish the goal. Now, once we get you out of debt, now we can start making money. Now we can go out and do something intelligent. Once we get you up to zero COD, most of you people out there, hell, you're not even at zero. You're at minus. Take a look at your mortgage. The best thing that could ever happen to you is they take the damn house away from you. And that car. The downside of it is they'll come back with a deficiency judgment, and so now you got to solve that deficiency judgment problem. You can do that. Now, once we get you out of debt, now we can go out here and we start making money. And then we start making money the scriptural way. You know, God, the Creator, can count. Believe it or not, that guy knows how to count. And that's why He told you not to practice usury and interest. And if you want to test it, we call it geometric progression. Here's what you do. Take your Sharp EL1197G3, you know, your Texas Instruments calculator, and you plug in 1 times 2 times whatever that number is, 4 times 8 times 16 times 32. That's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. Do that 32 times. And if you do that 32 times, you'll come up with $40 million. And that's called geometric progression. And that's the way you want to make money. Because that's the way the bankers make money. No big secret. But you can't do it by usury and interest. So if you'll get off this usury and interest crap and go back to practicing property and property rights and do it by geometric progression, we can teach you how to make money. Now, during these depression or recessionary periods, great fortunes are made. Sit back and relax. Opportunities everywhere. The old adage that says opportunity only knocks once is nonsense. Opportunity is like rain; it's everywhere, and you got to work hard to stay out from under it, or you get wet. Now, if you could seize those opportunities as they come up, you know, just one at a time, just one opportunity, and then profit from it. Opportunity, profit from it. Pretty soon you'd be making money 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. That's the scriptural way. That's why I say the scripture and the Ten Commandment model is far superior to the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto model. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law or an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. It's heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that the authors of these publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. And these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. But they should. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about reviewing 2008, and the big story for 2008 is the economic collapse. So I thought I'd take a look here at the history of America and tell you about some of our founding fathers and some of the other people around who have given you some insight on money and banking and told you that this is the ultimate end. What we're experiencing today was fully predictable, and indeed it was predicted by many of our founding fathers and former presidents who warned us and told us about these bankers,
our God warned us and told us about these bankers, but you didn't learn that from your preacher, now did you, in Sunday school? He didn't tell you a word about it. He's a part of the problem. He's in there with them. He gets paid off by the bankers, just like your politicians get paid off. You got the best government that money can buy. Now, John Adams wrote to Thomas Jefferson in 1787. He said, "All of the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects in our Constitution or Confederation, not from want of honor or virtue so much, as from the downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation." Americans are just absolutely incompetent when it comes to money and credit. Just absolutely haven't got a clue as to how that thing works. Not surprising. It's because you went to public school and they deliberately miseducated you. If you'd have gone to the scripture, God would have told you. Now let me tell you the answer to this. There's 15 laws that govern economics. 15. And when you violate any one or more of those laws, you get a result. You get a kick in the ass. John Moody wrote this. He said, "Seven men on Wall Street now control a great share of the fundamental industry and resources of the United States." I said this back about 1900. Seven men on Wall Street now control a great share of the fundamental industry and resources of the United States. Three of the seven men, J.P. Morgan, James J. Hill, and George F. Baker, the head of the First National Bank of New York, belong to the so-called Morgan Group. Four of them, John D. and William Rockefeller, that's two, James Stillman, head of the National City Bank, and Jacob H. Schiff, on the private banking firm of Kuhn Loeb Company, to the so-called Standard Oil City Bank Group. The central machine of capital extends its control over the United States. The process is not only economically logical, it is now practically automatic. All right, now that was in 1900. What do you think these same institutions control today? Well, they control 90% of it. 2% of the people in the country control 90% of America's wealth. All right, now let's take a look here at Woodrow Wilson. Now, Woodrow Wilson is the guy who signed the Federal Reserve Act into law. He was our president in 1913 when this law was enacted. And after he did that, he said, "A great industrial nation is controlled by its system of credit. Our system of credit is concentrated, and the growth of the nation, therefore, and all of our activities are in the hands of a few men. We have come to be one of the worst ruled and one of the most completely controlled and dominated governments in the civilized world. No longer a government by free opinion, no longer a government by conviction and the vote of the majority, but a government by the opinion and duress of small groups of dominant men." And the two most dominant men in America today are Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson. Just wanted to point that out to you. And the reason and the way that they control you is through banks and banking. And you can close your banking connections in the morning. I mean, you can close your banking connections tomorrow. If you were real right on top of it, you could get it accomplished today. That would be a step in the right direction. Now, Henry Ford, you know, he started the Ford Motor Company, pretty wealthy guy. By 1930, he was making $30 million a year. Do you know that? $30 million a year. God, that was a lot of money in 1930. You could multiply that times 10 right now, maybe 20. Henry Ford was making somewhere between $300 and $600 million a year back in 1930. I mean, that was a bunch of money. You know, and by today's standards, you know, by Bill Gates' standards. Here's what Henry Ford said. Sixth grade education. He said, "The greatest thing in life is experience. Even our mistakes have value for us. Take the matter of money, for example. There is no doubt that financiers have failed to do their best to give us an efficient money system. and yet it was their principal business to do just that. The function of money is not to make money, but to move goods. Money is only one part of our transportation system. It moves goods from man to man. A dollar bill is like a postage stamp. It's no good unless it will move commodities between persons. If a postage stamp will not carry a letter, or money will not move goods, it's just the same as an engine that will not run. Someone will have to get out and fix it. The purpose for money now, boys and girls, is like a postage stamp. It's for the purpose of moving the goods from person to person. It's not there for making money. Now, you're going to sit there and say, yeah, but I can make money doing that. Yeah, that's true. You can. They've created a paper money system with stocks and bonds, and you can make profit and gain off of money. But it's unsustainable. You can't do it forever. And we've reached the end of the sustainability, and that's why the economic system is collapsing. And it does that predictably every so often. The use of fiat currency and paper money will always end in depression. Every single time. Without exception. With 5,000 years of experience and hundreds of countries that have tried it, it has always ended exactly this way. Every single time. Without fail. And so what we're going through here now is unique in that it's all the countries of the world going bankrupt simultaneously. Now that's never happened before. And that's why we're headed into the Great Tribulation. This is a period of time mentioned in 30 prophecies in the Bible. Never before and never again. So, get ready for the big koala, because this is what's coming. The big koala. Thomas Edison, third grade education. He said, if our nation can issue a dollar loan, it is capable of issuing a dollar bill. The factor which makes the loan valid is the same which would make a dollar good. Both are promises to pay, but one enriches the usurers and the other would help the people. So here's a couple of guys that are out here in the world buying, selling, and trading, and one of them goes to the third grade, one of them goes to the sixth grade. Both of them understood money and banking. And they said, hey, these banks and bankers over here are ripping us off. They could see that. Not the average Joe Sixpack today. Now, some of us can, but most don't. And so, because of your education, because you've been taught and trained to believe in this fiat money system, you'll believe in it until it takes you to your grave. I don't deny that. And if that's what makes you happy, you just keep right after it, and you get with the program over here. But the ultimate end of it over here is death. Always remember that. So when you're in your death throes, you remember you brought this on yourself. You're the proximate cause of your own injury. Nobody's forcing you to use your credit card or to use that paper money. Now, I have a lot of times students will come in here and say, well, I don't have any choice. Down at Walmart, they won't take gold. Excuse me, partner. There isn't anybody sticking a gun to your head and making you go to Walmart either. There isn't anybody sticking a gun at your head and making you work for General Motors or anybody else. Those are choices that you make in life. The real truth of the matter is, it's the only thing I know. Now you got it down to the bottom line. That's true. You were born, educated in the public school system, and it's the only thing you know. Communism is the only thing that you know how to do and do well. It doesn't work. It always ends in death. The ultimate end is poverty, but it's the only thing you know. Has it occurred to you that you probably could learn the Ten Commandment model? I mean, if you had an instructor and somebody said, hey, come on over here, let me show you this. I think you could learn how to do this. Well, you know, assuming that you've got average intelligence. You know, your IQ, you know, is somewhere around 80, 90, something like that. You ever heard of a guy named Josiah Stamp? Listen to this guy. Sir Josiah Stamp was the president of the Bank of England. This is an insider. This is one of the bankers. One of the bankers. President of the Bank of England. Well, back in 1920, he came over to the United States, and he was speaking at the University of Texas in 1920. And he had a little ditty for those people. He said, listen to this. He said, banking was conceived in iniquity, and it was born in sin. Bankers own the world. That's quite a statement. Sir Josiah Stamp, he's an Englishman, president of the Bank of England. He's in Austin, Texas, talking to you Texans down there at the University of Texas. And he said, banking was conceived in iniquity and born in sin. Bankers own the world. That's quite a statement. Because if the bankers own the world, then they own you too. Mull that one over for a minute. Take it away from them, he said, but leave them the power to create money. And with the flick of a pen, they will create enough money to buy it all back again. Now take this great power away from the bankers, and all great fortunes like mine will disappear. And they ought to disappear, because this would then be a better and a happier world to live in. But if you want to continue to be the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, then let them continue to create your money. Let them continue to create your money. And by God, you know, Henry Paulson and Ben Bernanke have created $8.5 trillion new dollars in 13 weeks. The last 13 weeks, well, not the last 13 weeks of the year, but 13 weeks from September when Lehman Brothers collapsed until November. In 13 weeks, they have created $8.5 trillion of new money. Never before, and we hope never again, but we got a new president coming in. He says he's going to print even more. So tuck that one away in your heart. Tuck it away in your heart. Now, here's a guy, John Swinton. He was the editor of a New York paper. I'm going to look this up here now. Just hang on here a second. Here it is right here. John Swinton. He was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft. And someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. And he said, there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. If Brian Williams, Katie Couric, or Charlie Gibson gave their honest opinion on the 6 o'clock news, they would be out on the street looking for another job in the morning. They're paid whores, nothing more, nothing less. And they're full of disease in the process. Now, the business of the journalists is to destroy the truth. The business of Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and Charlie Gibson is to destroy the truth. This is an insider. This is the editor. Now, they give him credit for being the editor of the New York Times. After looking this thing up, I found out it was the New York Tribune. New York journalist, probably in one night in 1880. He made this comment back in 1880. Now, remember I showed you the press story here from the Protocols of the Learned Elders? We shall handle the press in the following manner. Boys and girls, this isn't a prophecy that's going to happen if you don't do something. Hell, this is already past tense. This was already in full force and effect as far back as 1880, for crying out loud. The control of the news media and of the press has been in the pockets of the Zionists for the last 120 or 30 years. Lock, stock, and barrel. And the reason that we believe these stories that we hear from Jim Lehrer and from Katie and Brian is because that's the way we've been taught and trained. and we believe it, and then we go out and act upon it. It's actually working against us, and works for the bankers and against us. But then, you know, that's the way we want it. That's the way we vote. He went on to say that the business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. That's not George Gordon calling him a prostitute. That's John Swinton indicting the whole craft of the journalists of America. And I'm just a reporter, so I just thought I'd tell you. We were told years ago by other people that are insiders that if we do this, it's going to come back and bite us in the ass. And now it has. And we, that's you and me, brothers and sisters, you and I, are the proximate cause of our own injury. Hell, we did this to ourselves. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is we can stop doing it to ourselves, and we can start right now today by going back to gold and silver. And one of the best ways to start educating yourself is to subscribe to one of these underground newsletters. I call it underground. Actually, you can buy them right across the counter, but you can't get it down at the supermarket. See, no one will handle this information. You can't get this from Katie Couric, Brian Williams, or Fox News. But you can subscribe to the International Forecaster. Just get online and go to www.theinternationalforecaster.com. That's the place to start. Start educating yourself to getting off of paper and getting into gold and silver. That's what God instructed us. We did it from 1865 to 1910, became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world. We abandoned it in 1913, and now we're the world's number one debtor nation. So you can figure out for yourself which was the better plan. The 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, which was given to us by Franklin Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson, or the ten commandments, which was given to us by God and Moses. I mean, you're an adult. You can make your own choice. I'm just here to tell you that there is a choice to make. Now, here's Salmon P. Chase. He was the Secretary of the Treasury back in the Lincoln administration in 1862. Salmon B. Chase, in referring to the National Banking Act of 1862, said this. He said, "My agency in promoting the passage of the National Banking Act was the greatest financial mistake of my life. It has built up a monopoly which afflicts every interest in the country. It should be repealed. But before that can be accomplished, the people will be arrayed on one side and the banks on the other in a contest such as we have never seen before in this country." Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon P. Chase, said, "My God, I made a God-awful mistake." Woodrow Wilson, who signed the Federal Reserve Act, said, "God, I made, that was the worst mistake of my presidency, was signing that banking act, the Federal Reserve Act." Now, Abraham Lincoln had something to say about money. He said, "The money and power preys upon the nation in times of peace and conspires against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. It denounces as public enemies all who question its methods or throw light upon its crimes." Abraham Lincoln called the banking monopoly a criminal activity. Hey, he couldn't have been any closer to the truth. Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, and it got him killed. Now listen to this. Robert Hemphill, for 8 years, was the credit manager of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. Robert Hemphill. Here's an insider banker. Here's what he said. He said, "If all bank loans were paid, no one would have a bank deposit, and there would not be a dollar of currency in circulation." This is a staggering thought. We are completely dependent upon the commercial banks, and someone has to borrow every dollar that we have in circulation, cash or credit. If the banks create ample synthetic money, we are prosperous. And if they do not, we starve. We are absolutely without a permanent monetary system. When one gets a complete grasp upon the picture, the tragic absurdity of our hopeless position is almost incredible. But there it is. The banking problem is the most important subject that intelligent persons can investigate and reflect upon. It is so important that our present civilization may collapse unless it is widely understood and the defects remedied, and very soon. Well, hell, that was 30, 40 years ago. Now listen, you gave them this $700 billion. Remember that back in October? And remember the reason for this $700 billion bailout was to grease the skids so that the banks would start lending again, so that you could go out and buy a car, so that you could refinance your mortgage on this house that you're unable to maintain. Remember? So what did the banks do with the $700 billion? Well, they haven't got it all yet. They only got half of it as I speak. But of the $350 billion that they took, they're lending none of it. They're acquiring banks, paying bonuses, and storing the money. But they're not lending it, which was the purpose behind it. Remember? All right, so tuck it away in your heart. And Robert Hemphill, who was the credit manager of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, Georgia, an insider banker, he says, you're totally dependent upon these bank loans, and if they withhold these bank loans, there's no money in circulation. This money crisis, this credit crisis of 2008 is engineered and created by the bankers themselves. They're bringing it upon you. And your solution? Give them $700 billion so they can save us. You go to the whorehouse, you get a dose of clap, and you come back and say, I'm going back to the whorehouse to get a cure. That's why I have to ask the question, have we taken leave of our senses? Have we gone stark raving mad in this country? Isn't there anybody out there that can think? Are our brains just frozen up? There's an old adage that says, well, do something, even if it's wrong. Boys and girls, you can't get any wronger than what you're doing now. Can you? Hey, tuck that one away in your heart. Remember old Woodrow Wilson now? He's the guy that put this thing into operation back in 1914. He said, no longer is America a government of free opinion, a government by conviction, a vote of the majority. It's a government by the opinion or duress of a small group of dominant men. A small group of dominant Zionists who control Wall Street and the Secretary of the Treasury over here, and their president goes right along with it. We don't have an Andrew Jackson in the White House to protect us like we had in 1836. We got an insider banker here as Secretary of the Treasury, and then we got a president over here that's in cahoots with him, who's looting the Treasury, raping, robbing, and pillaging all of us in the process. And then if you say anything about it, they call you anti-Semitic, and then they want to brand you as being a racist. See? Well, tuck it away in your heart, and remember you heard it here first. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.